If you have a Bible, we are going to be in 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 7 this morning. 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 7. This message is a little bit different. There's 5 points. It's an acronym. It spells crazy. Scripture's in your bulletin for some of the points, but we're gonna find ourselves in 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 7 in just a few minutes. So if you need a Bible, slip a hand up. They'd love to get one in your hands if you want to borrow one this morning. We were created to connect. We were created to be in community. And when you think about the relationships that you're in and you think about all the different levels of those relationships, like me, I am guessing that you have at one time or another cried mayday. Every relationship needs help from time to time. Relationships are messy because they involve people, and people are messy, and people are imperfect. Whether it's a husband and wife, or friendships, or neighbors, or coworkers, or family, it doesn't really matter. Today I want to talk about crazy love. The Beatles sang a song called All You Need Is Love. You remember that song? All you need is love. Love. Love is all you need. Well, we all know that love is not all that we need, but it doesn't hurt. We were created to be loved, and we were created to love. The word love is mentioned 551 times in the NIV Bible. One of the greatest things in all of life is to know that we are loved by God. Because without God's unconditional love, who could survive in such a loveless world? Everything that God says, everything that God thinks, everything that God does is motivated out of his great love for us. Today we're going to explore crazy love, a love that is more than assumed, a love that is more than a feeling that kind of comes and goes. It's a love that is essential if we're going to sustain and exist and live in healthy and vibrant relationships. So if you're following along in your outline, I encourage you to do that. Crazy love is communicated, and that's the very first one, is communicated. 1 John 3:1 says this: See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called the children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. When it comes to communication, men and women are different. In a general sense, men communicate to relay information, sports scores, whatever. And in general, men tend to talk more about topics than they do about feelings and emotions. Men are highly competitive and proverbial problem solvers. And so a lot of times when we talk or we're talking to another guy, we're trying to solve problems all the time. And in a general sense, women may tend to communicate to connect with others. They would rather talk about people than things and relay feelings and emotions quite readily. Some studies have shown that the average woman speaks upwards of 20,000 words per hour. I'm sorry, per day. That's day. There's an email. Men, on the other hand, average about 7,000 per day. Wow, this is, it's helpful, and maybe even it's confirming information. Men, please don't do as one very unwise young man did. He said of his girlfriend, "My girlfriend talks in story mode." You can laugh, that's okay. There's a poster that reads this, and I'm gonna say it slow because this morning I noticed when I read it slower to myself, I kind of actually got it. I know you think you heard what I said, but I don't think you realize that what you heard is not what I meant. Therein lies the great complexity of communication. Effective communication takes time. The most important words. So I'll talk about couples here for a second. And so I told you that a lot of these messages are just general relationship, but this week I'll pull in the married couples for just a couple of the points or sub-points. The most important words a couple can speak to one another are the last words they say before they depart and the first words that they say when they come back together. The problem with communication is the illusion that it's been accomplished. Effective communication is an absolute must for healthy relationships. Poor communication leads to all kinds of strain and stress in various relationships. I want to talk about the man's brain for a second. A man's brain is unique. That right there is worth the price of admission this morning. Okay? And maybe you've heard this analogy before, but I think it's always a good reminder. A good way to understand a man's brain is to think of it like boxes. We have a box for everything. We have a box for the car, right? We have a box for money. We have a box for our job. We have a box for our wife. We have a box for her mother. We have a box for every other, sorry, a box for kids, a box for friends, a box for recreation, a box for sex. And the rule is that none of these boxes are to touch another box. When a man discusses a particular subject, we go to a particular box and we pull it out very carefully, making sure that it doesn't touch any of the other boxes, ensuring that we only deal with what's in that box. We pull the box out and discuss only what's in there. And then when we're done, we close the box and we put it away very carefully. Let's talk about a woman's brain. A woman's brain is different than a man's brain. A woman's brain can be thought of like a big ball of wire. And I know these are generalities. So when I say this, it's like, well, you may be sitting here like, no, that's not true. Or guys, you may say that's not true. A woman's brain can be thought of like a big ball of wire, and everything is connected to everything else. The house is connected to the car to the kids to sports to supper, supper to the dog. I don't get that one, but it's all connected. Everything is connected. And a woman's brain is like a super highway, right? It never shuts off. Yesterday we were driving. I was driving, Lori's in the passenger seat, and I was stopped at a stoplight, and I was going to have to take a left, and she's writing very intensely. She's writing in a card, a thank you card, and I look over at her, and she's just like, she's into this card, and in the midst of it, she's like, you're going to have to get in the right lane, and then she just keeps writing. I'm like, how does she know that? Like, she didn't even look up, but that's how it happens. And oftentimes, for a woman, it's all driven by something we call emotion. It's one of the reasons why women tend to remember everything. Women take an event and they burn it to an emotion, and then it's etched in the brain forever. And the same thing happens to men, just not as often, because frankly, we don't care. And women tend to care about everything. Back to men for just a second. We men have a box in our brain that many women are not aware of or they don't want to believe. It's called the nothing box. The nothing box. Because there is nothing in it. Of all the boxes a man has in his brain, the nothing box is our absolute favorite box. If a man has a chance, he'll go to his nothing box every single time. That's exactly why a man can seemingly do something brain dead for hours on end, like fishing. Today is the opening day for fishing, right? Stand there and fish and fish and fish and fish and think nothing. Somebody told me after the first service, he goes ice fishing with his brother, and he comes home, and his wife says, well, what'd you talk about? Nothing. Talk about anything, right? Nothing drives a woman crazier or makes them more irritated than to witness a man doing nothing. And so, ladies, when you ask us, what are you thinking about right now? And we say nothing, we are not lying, okay? We are not thinking anything, all right? 1 John 3:1, how great is the love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called the children of God, and that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is because it did not know him. Well, there are many unanswered questions we have about God, and we have about eternity, and we have about life. One thing is for sure, God did not forego telling us how much he loves us. He chose to remain silent about some things, but not his love for us. From cover to cover in the Bible, it's like God is screams in our face, do you know how much I love you? In 1 John, he says that he has not only loved us, but that he has lavished his love upon us. It's like drinking his unconditional love from a fire hose. And it's only because of his great love for us that we could ever communicate genuinely our love for other people. Do you communicate your love to your spouse? To your parents? To your friends? And I ask that because crazy love is not assumed. It's communicated. Every person receives love differently. And I want to talk for just a moment about something that I have found very, very helpful for some people. And it's going to be love languages for here just for a second. And you're going to say, I've already heard that. Or maybe you say, like a person said to me 2 weeks ago, I've never heard that before when I was talking to them. And oftentimes when I'm doing counseling with couples, and Lori and I have talked about this too, she does way more counseling than I do, but as you're talking to a couple and you're just listening to them, you're like, there's a love language issue here. I want you to picture for just a moment, it's as though we all carry this tank, this love tank on our back, and it's strapped around our shoulders. And it's this idea of filling our love tank. And when I first heard this a number of years ago, I thought, this is kind of weird stuff. I don't know if I believe this. But the older I've gotten and the more experiences I've had, I'm like, this is so true. For married couples, if you do not learn and communicate your partner's love language, you'll be a married couple who's close in proximity but a world apart. And don't take your spouse for granted and assume that they know that you love them. Every person is loved and receives love differently. For that reason, it's important to discover a person's what's called love language and communicate your love to them in such a way that they will know absolutely that they are loved. Some of the most common languages, the love languages we read about is in books like Love Languages by Gary Smalley. I just want to go through them quickly. Words of affirmation is the first one. Some people feel loved most when they are affirmed. And this can happen in all kinds of relationships, whether it's through compliments or encouraging words. Now, verbal compliments are far greater motivators, right, than nagging words. Lori is drop-dead gorgeous. But how often do I tell her that? Am I much more apt to remind her when she is late or that she didn't answer her phone or her phone isn't charged again? You get the idea that negativity comes naturally. And by the way, I do tell her how beautiful she is. Mark Twain once said, I can live for 2 months on a good compliment. Isn't that true? The absence of verbal compliments and verbal encouragement opens the door for someone else to do it for you. And I want you to think about that. In marriage, this is often where the door gets cracked. The absence of verbal compliments and verbal encouragement opens the door for someone else to do it for you. Second love language is quality time. The definition of quality time is giving undivided attention. Some people spend quantity time, but not quality time. It's a matter of making that person that you are talking to in that moment feel like they're the only person who's alive on the face of the earth. The third love language is receiving gifts. The perfect gift or gesture tells another person, I care about you. or I'm thinking about you. The next one is acts of service. A man was once asked, does your wife love you? And he said, yeah, my wife absolutely loves me. How do you know that she loves you? Well, she cleans the house, she makes supper, she takes care of our kids. What do you suppose his love language is? Acts of service. Physical touch is the last one. There have been numerous research projects completed that have concluded the need for physical touch. Physical touch is one way, and it's a very powerful way, might I add, for expressing love. Maybe that's holding hands or hugging or kissing or handshakes. Ladies, ladies, come on. Not all physical touch has to lead to sex. You'll get it. Sometimes men just want to cuddle. Some people, and maybe you're one of them, need physical touch. Love covers a multitude of frustration, a multitude of disappointment. I have some books out in the foyer, trying to do this once in a while, but the first one that I want to talk about is this five love languages. If you've never seen this, I would encourage you to go take a look at this. We also have out there a free test that's on the pillars. You can pick one of those up, you can take the test, and it'll help you identify maybe what your love language is. But one really cool thing that we have out there is we have the same book for couples, we have it for singles, we have it for teens, and we have it for children. Wouldn't it be really interesting to find out what your kids' love language is and how they best receive love for you? Crazy love is radical, number two. 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 7 says this. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It's not proud. It does not dishonor others. It's not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects. It always trusts. It always hopes, and it always perseveres. Crazy love is radical because it's unconditional. And you know what that means, right? There's no strings attached to it. It's a love that loves even when it is not offered in return. Unconditional love is a love that loves even when it's not offered in return. It's a love that's free. It's a love that is unaffected by circumstances. To love somebody with an agape love is not just a strong feeling. It's like this declaration. It's a decision. It's a judgment. It's a promise. So agape love is to love without conditions. Can you imagine if God only chose to love those who loved him? He loves regardless of our love for him. 1 Corinthians teaches us the characteristics of radical love. It says love is patient. What that means, it's just not in a hurry. It's not in a hurry to change other people. Love is kind, meaning it's not inconsiderate. It seeks to help others. It demonstrates this tenderness. Love is not jealous, meaning you're content. It's not selfish, meaning we don't demand our way. It keeps no record of wrongs. In other words, it does not delight in bringing another person's failures and faults to light. It's a love that forgives. It never gives up. Stays the course. Third, crazy love is active. Romans 5:8 says, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Listen to these truths here for a second. A true believer in Jesus Christ knows him and opens themselves up to be known by him. We must know the immense, passionate, the most tender and compassionate, blood-bought, sacrificial, real love of God. You are loved. He loves you. And when we allow ourselves to be loved by God and love him as he intended us to, it changes everything. But I have to tell you this. This relationship here, our vertical relationship that we have with God, depending on where this is at, affects every relationship we have horizontally. These relationships horizontally will never go beyond our relationship that we have with God in depth, because we won't understand how to go deeper. He demonstrated his love for us. He didn't just tell us. He showed us. Imagine for a moment the weight of your sin. You have a scale and you're taking one sin at a time. You're just piling it on. Imagine all of your guilt. Imagine all of your shame. Imagine everything that separates you from God. Jesus came to earth in complete and utter humility and chose to die on a cross. He took every single bit, every single ounce. He took it all. Hebrews 10 says that his blood not only covers our sins, but also frees us from a guilty conscience. Jesus took our place. He became sin for us. He took it all. No payment required. Any person who has confessed with their mouth and has believed in their heart that Jesus is Lord, any person who has done that is free, completely free. His amazing love and grace and forgiveness changes every one of our relationships. Like I said earlier, God not only told us that he loves us, he also saw the need to demonstrate it to us, because crazy love is active. It's not idle. Crazy love is not lazy. It does not take the other person for granted. It's a love that is busy about the other person. Crazy love is always demonstrated. It's never passive. It's never assumed. Do the people around you know that you love them? Do you actively demonstrate it? Number four, crazy love is zesty. I shared this section I'm going to share with you at our In Tandem conference that Lori and I did about 15 months ago. Maybe some of you were there. What I'm about to talk about can be a little sensitive. So for those of you who have younger children in the room, it's just a heads up. But instead of using the S word, I'm going to use the word zesty because it fits in my outline. Hopefully, this point is primarily for married couples, but I believe we can all learn from it. Hebrews 13:4 says this: marriage should be honored by all, and the marriage bed kept pure, for God will judge the adulterer and all the sexually immoral. Occasionally, I get the yawns. I just start yawning. And I'm not talking about a little yawn. I'm talking about, like, huge yawns, and then as soon as I'm done, you know, a couple minutes later, I'm yawning again, and I'm yawning again, uncontrollably. Has that ever happened to you? I don't know what causes that, but some marriages are like that. Boring. Is the physical part of your marriage a snoozer? Or is it alive? Is it exciting? Is it zesty? Because crazy love is zesty. Marriage should be honored by all, and the zesty part of the relationship within the marriage should be kept pure, because that's the biblical view of zesty. It's interesting. We got a magazine, Lori and I were looking at it on Friday, and one of the statistics was that 58% of divorced people, you got your mind around that? 58% of divorced people, pornography was involved. 58%. Marriage should be honored by all, and the zesty part of the relationship within marriage should be kept pure. It's a place of great honor in a marriage. The Holy of Holies, where husband and wife meet privately to celebrate their love for one another. In God's plan, zesty was intended as a means of totally revealing oneself to your spouse. Its design was for two people who have entered into a marriage covenant to give themselves away to their partner. And if you don't believe me on this, sometime take a gander at the book of Song of Solomon in the Old Testament. Have you ever read that book? Because you read that book and you're like, is this supposed to be in the Bible? How did this get in here, right? One of the top needs for men and women is unconditional love, but not far behind is intimacy. And we spell it differently. Men spell intimacy Z-E-S-T-Y, and women spell it T-A-L-K, right? Now, remember the boxes that we men live in? We have a work box, a church box, a friend box, a recreation box, and a zesty box. The zesty box is always on the periphery, ready to be opened at a moment's notice. But remember, for women, everything is together. It all ties together. A healthy marriage that honors God is zesty. Don't settle for boring, because boredom is a breeding ground for sexual immorality and for anything else that brings excitement. Now, I'm going to get a little bit personal here. Take a drink of water first. And I got permission from Lori to share this. I always ask for permission, usually ahead of time, but this one was ahead of time. As Lori and I have grown together, we have come to the conclusion that a physical connection is actually inseparable from a spiritual connection. God created us as physical and spiritual beings. We cannot cease being either. We're always both. So it hasn't been all that long ago when Lori asked if it's okay to play worship music while we're being zesty. And I thought, well, that's kind of weird. That's like inviting God into the bedroom. And I was like, wait, what am I thinking? It's not like inviting God into the bedroom. God is in the bedroom. How can I say no? No, God, you're not allowed. We'll be out just a minute, God. Go play with your iPad. So we have one of these Alexa dots in our bedroom, and we use it for an alarm, we use it for weather, etc., and now apparently we use it to play worship music. And so it went like this. Alexa, play current worship songs. And so we play current worship songs. Wow. So I was like, we're on to something here. God, you're always invited. And then I had a conversation with Alexa. Alexa, play every worship song known to mankind all day. Every day. All joking aside, physical connection is so very important, but I also don't want to minimize the fact that there can be significant physiological and psychological issues with sexual intimacy that greatly affect marriages. There can be pain, inability, fear, and a myriad of all kinds of other things. We're not going to camp here, but there's hope. And you need to be honest and not shaming or blaming and talk through the area of the physical connection. I have a couple of resources also out there. The first one is called Sheet Music by Dr. Kevin Lehman. It was really interesting because I was reading this on Thursday in my office, and I have a monitor, and I was kind of like tucking down behind the monitor so I could read this. So anyway, by walking by, I'm like, what's he reading? Oh, he's reading Sheet Music. Interesting. And Pastor Stephen showed up, and he walked in my office, and he's like, I'm like, oh, I'm sorry, I'm reading this book, but I was kind of trying to hide. And so he's like, oh, well, let me take a look at it. And so he looked at it. And so we have another book called Intended for Pleasure. These are both excellent resources in this area. In fact, we anybody we counsel, we encourage these. Yeah, I won't say that. So either of these books. Now, if you're like, I can't go out there. I'm not going to go out to the desk and buy one of these books. Right? Just seriously, just say it is for a friend. You can say that. My friend over there, do you see him standing over there? They didn't want to come and get this, so they asked me to come and get it. Okay? And just point to somebody. Excellent, excellent resources. I didn't even know about these books. And I just read this book. We've been married 32 years. I'm like, are you kidding me? Okay? This is excellent. They're excellent resources in this area. I would highly, highly encourage it. 5, crazy love is yielding. Philippians 2:3-4 says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interest of others. Do nothing, we're talking about general relationships now, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. In other words, do nothing that only has you in mind. One part of your mission and my mission here on this earth is to serve others unselfishly. Try and outserve. Think about your relationships. Even if it's a friend or a coworker or your wife or a fan, try and outserve them. Selfish ambition can ruin a relationship and destroy any element of unity about as fast as anything. Unselfishness and yielding, on the other hand, can build unity in any relationship about as fast as anything. Humility and unselfishness and yielding is not understood when we look at ourselves, because when we look at ourselves, we can't understand those things. But when we start and we stop and we start looking at God, we start to see. And as we look at God, we begin to get a better, healthier picture of who we are. To regard others as better than ourselves means that we can look for the good in others and point it out. It means that we can rejoice in their accomplishments. Is that hard for you? When people succeed or do things, is that hard for you to rejoice with them? We can celebrate their giftedness. The more you lose yourself, the more you will gain in any relationship. Let me share one thing with you. Healthy relationships exercise crazy love. Choose one or more of the 5 characteristics of crazy love to express your love for someone else. Choose one or more. Would you stand with me as we close? Father, we thank you for this great day. It's a day of celebrating mothers. It's a day of celebrating relationship. Thank you for teaching us from your word how to do this messy thing with other people, this complicated connection. Lord, you bring so much insight from your word. Thank you. I pray for all my friends here this morning that there's something that challenged or that resonated in each of our hearts, something that we can take away and say, that's an area I need to take a closer look at. Lord, don't let us settle. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.